Hello, everybody, and welcome to the .NET Ring of Honor podcast. My name is Darren Gutridge. I'm joined tonight by Mr. Hayden Gleed.
Hey, everybody.
Not joined by my two back wisdom teeth, but I'll explain all about that and ROH Final Battle 2016 right after this. And we're back. Welcome back to the ROH .NET podcast.
I can't believe that you led talking about your wisdom teeth.
Well, of course I have to make it about me, Hayden, otherwise it wouldn't be the .NET podcast. Yes, I did think I'd make it this week. In fact, I'm not on the ROH straight audio that me and Hayden usually do, because I was recovering from having my wisdom teeth pulled out of my head. That made me very loopy in order to do this, and I felt what it was like to be delirious.
As I said to you, that the prospect of you being loopy, considering your normal personality, is a very, very frightening prospect.
I know. I'm thankful only my dad was there to see me, of me in that state. God help me for being somebody else.
You might have been quite normal. If you're in a loopy state, you would have been normal.
Yeah, that's maybe what it is. It's like the opposite of what you are normally. Like, yeah, that doesn't happen when I get drunk. I just get louder and more annoying, if you can believe.
Oh my God.
Maybe anesthetic sends me the other way. But yes, though not all of me is here as I was on the last podcast, I am here to talk about the final battle event that's going to take place this Friday, which is December the 2nd, 2016, as we've made painstakingly obvious in the ROH podcast week in and week out. ROH are not good at building storylines at all. They are very much a match first, storyline second type of company. Which makes this kind of difficult, because this is their biggest show of the year. This is their WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And I'd say outside of the main event, almost none of these matches have any amount of storyline build-up.
Yeah, and I would argue, as I made clear in my blog, which was published yesterday on the ProWrestling.net website, you know, so much lost potential here, because you have so many matchups that if you just got a little bit of steam and a little bit of storyline help behind them, would feel like a great culmination to the year of ROH. And, you know, I know they did a lot of build up on the go home show for Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, but to me, it was too little too late. It was one of those things where you had such a great story to tell, and they knew they had the great story to tell, which is why they crammed it all into the last show. But, you know, people have lives that sometimes they don't get to see one show, and if they miss one show, and they've missed the whole story here. Like, for example, if you have your wisdom teeth out.
Exactamundo. I think they kind of rested on their laurels with Colin O'Reilly, knowing that the storyline was basically, well, either A, already told, or B, told itself, really, and they need slight provocation. They didn't give themselves a lot of time to build this card, obviously. Coming out of the UK shows and a few other things, they only really had 2 or 3 weeks of TV time to build to Final Battle. Nowhere near enough time. There's a reason that WWE spaces out the build to WrestleMania over quite a few weeks, and have already started come January, if not earlier than that, so that everything can peak at the right time, so they have enough time to tell the stories properly. Now, that's not always the case. Every WrestleMania has one or two throwaway matches, but that's they're in the minority. Whereas here, having just looked at the card, I'd say there are two matches that have some amount of storyline backup, and that is it. And a third that is the culmination of a tournament. So that kind of can stand in the way of a storyline. But that makes them the minority here. And the majority of these matches are matches for the sake of matches. And I just think the one pay-per-view a year where that can't happen is your biggest show. You should have all guns blazing. You should have the plan. Maybe ROH don't have a plan pay-per-view to pay-per-view week to week. In fact, that's very obvious that they don't have a plan week to week. But for Final Battle, they should have a game plan, for the love of God.
But what I would say, you know, trying to turn this into more of a positive sort of conversation, the card itself looks fantastic. You know, you can go up and down this card, and I'm looking at it now, and I can't really see one match that I think is going to stink out the joint or look out of place on such a fantastic card. And if Ring of Honor wants to continue to be this type of company where they're just pumping out good wrestling matches on a pay-per-view without any build-up, you know, it's their prerogative, and that's fine, but they won't grow. And I would argue that with the amount of choice that people have got these days, with things like Flow Sports and with NXT, etc., you know, it's going to come a point where they're not the only company doing this. They're not the leader of the niche anymore. So, you know, I know I said I wanted to make it positive and I just ended up turning to a negative, but yeah. So as I said, if they are based on the actual lineup itself and the matches, you know, I'm really excited to see this, but I just wish that they'd given a bit of storyline love to a lot more of this card.
I almost wish I wasn't excited for this pay-per-view. Like, weirdly, I wish, like, this was the culmination of me going, right, I'm done with ROH. They could have built the final battle. They've got such a good roster that they can utilize in many different ways. They have people who can cut promos. This is the thing. If they just had a load of people from the Indies that could only wrestle and had Evan Bourne levels of cutting promos, I think I'd be okay with this. But they have got storytellers on their promo. Yeah. So like I said, I wish I could just be like, right, then, this is the final death knell for ROH. I gave them a year to turn things around. They haven't done it. They've thrown together a card. But then I look at the matches on paper, and though it pains me to admit it, I am very intrigued by a lot of these matches.
Yeah.
They are causing me to almost consider spending £25 on a pay-per-view I can only watch on my phone. That is what we are dealing with today. But without any further ado, let's start going down this card. And we will start, as I said, with the main event between Adam Cole, the ROH champion, defending his title against Kyle O'Reilly. What was their tag name? I can't remember now.
Future Shock.
There we go. Yes, they were a tag team at one point. They came into ROH, I believe, as a tag team. They've imploded many times before. And Adam Cole is kind of, you know, he's now a two-time ROH champion. He's the one that had the rocket strapped to him and sent to the top. Whereas Kyle O'Reilly's been beavering away in the Red Dragon tag team, having good matches, having some momentum put towards him. And it seems every year or so, at least once a year, they will come back to this feud because they know how well these two work together. They know that storyline's there. And although they haven't done a fantastic job, in fact, they've not even done a good job of making this feel like this is it. This is the big, as much as you can ever say in wrestling, this is it. This is the big showdown. This is it. This is what it kind of feels like, at least for Kyle O'Reilly, it does.
Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't know this, Dan, because you haven't had a chance to watch the show yet, but Adam Cole was very emphatic by saying that this is it. This is his final opportunity, and this will be the last time they face each other. I don't know if that's prefacing sort of Kyle O'Reilly, whose contract we believe is coming up at the end of December, will be leaving the company. But you know, it certainly puts an extra little bit of spin on this match as to who will come out on top.
See, that is the one thing that I'm really annoyed about, is that had that not leaked, that Kyle O'Reilly might be on his way out, mm-hmm. I would have no doubt in my mind who the winner is. And yeah. I've mentioned this before, actually, when it was started to get mooted that we thought this was the destination. And it's been obvious for all their wrongdoings that ROH has been driving towards this match. They had at least this match in mind for Final Battle. If Kyle O'Reilly, and this is just one man's opinion, but I do believe this, unless he's leaving like the next day, Kyle O'Reilly doesn't win this match, it's kind of over for Kyle O'Reilly. Like, mm-hmm. like he's had so many opportunities, so goddamn many opportunities to kind of get there and do it, that this feels like, though it's never, you never say ever in Ring of Honor, of course he could win it the next night or in a month's time or whatever when he signed the new contract, it feels like as a character and as someone you can believe in as a champion and as a credible top guy, if he doesn't win this match after having so many chances and so much momentum put behind him, that I'm just going to be kind of checked out of Kyle O'Reilly. Mm-hmm. I'd never be able to really invest in him as like, no, he is a credible champion. He is someone that can go on a long run. Because as I said, think of how many title matches he's had this year and come very, yeah. very close for whatever reason. Usually Adam Cole. Mm-hmm. It makes the most storyline sense. It makes the most sense for the booking team because then they'll have new championship matches to throw together with Kyle O'Reilly as champion. It just makes all the sense in the world. Like I said, I just wish that contract thing hadn't come out because that could be the ultimate death nail that sees this go to Adam Cole.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, I'm going to try and analyze this without thinking too much about the contract status, but at the same time, it's something that's in the back of the head. But you make a very good point in terms of, you know, this is it for Kyle O'Reilly. You know, they could attempt to rebuild him again, but because they have billed this as the final opportunity and the final chance, etc., etc., you know, and with the fact that they've at least made an effort on the last show to basically show the history between these two, you know, it kind of leaves in a situation, as you said, where Kyle O'Reilly has to win, otherwise he's damaged, and he's damaged in the eyes of the fans, in terms of being a credible champion. I'm convinced that because of the tones of the way they've been talking, that Kyle O'Reilly will be leaving ROH. I don't know anything. I'm not reporting that in the slightest. But just based on the way that they've built this match, I'm leaning more towards Adam Cole retaining. But I'm hoping that if they do that they do it in a way where it breaks the hearts of Kyle O'Reilly and as a result breaks the hearts of the fans, so that any heat will be transferred to Adam Cole.
And not, that's a very good point. Yeah, if they really feel like, oh, they're not giving him the title just because of the contract thing, that could be bad for Ring of Honor. You know what I mean? That they will feel cheated out of what is obviously the end of the storyline, mm-hmm. which is heels are always meant to go down. You know what yeah. I mean? That is the point of a heel. So the end has to come at Kyle O'Reilly's hand. There's nobody else on that roster you think babyface-wise you're like, I would prefer them to Kyle O'Reilly to dethrone Adam Cole at this point.
Yeah.
But you are right. I wish that contract thing had not been leaked, because then I'd be like, there'd be no doubt in my mind, 100% put my house on, Kyle O'Reilly will retain. Unless they're being really quite stupendously stupid to give it to Adam Cole. Now, they could really say, right, we're going to build their company around Adam Cole. He's not one of those people whose contract is on the bubble, I believe. So they've got him for a little bit longer. He is someone you can build a company around. Whether you want to build it around a heel champion, I don't know. But then you think, well, he's already faced Jay Lethal a bunch of times. He's faced Jay Briscoe. He's faced Kyle O'Reilly. You know, who's left? Who's a really big babyface they could throw at Adam Cole anytime soon? So,
well, that's the thing, you know, they can transfer, you know, again, we're sort of fancy booking past this match on the basis of Adam Cole winning. But, you know, what they could do is they could use this then as a springboard for someone else to come along and, you know, be the babyface who finally dethrones Adam Cole and transfer that equity from basically the Kyle O'Reilly Adam Cole feud onto whoever is the surrogate for Kyle O'Reilly in the future.
So, official prediction from Hayden is Adam Cole retaining.
Adam Cole, baby.
I am going to go against my own knowledge, facts, figures, I'm going to be a creationist for some reason. I'm going to go against all empirical evidence and say, no, Kyle O'Reilly's going to win, and then they're going to find a way of getting that title off him before the end of the year.
Ooh,
I know. But I think just for the sake of Kyle, because he can always come back, you know, a lot of people have gone back to ROH. I think if he goes back there without ever winning a title in a few years' time, he'll come back like Colt Cabana did. I'm just like, oh, great, Colt's back. Remember how he didn't win anything? That's cool. And I don't want that for Kyle O'Reilly. I want him to win, and then that can be equally as heartbreaking as you're laid out. If they have him win, and then the next night someone screws him out of the title, I don't know who, I don't know how you get around that, whether you use the Bullet Club and really push them and make Adam Cole a three-time ROH champion. That's never happened before. Mm-hmm. There's ways. So I'm going against convention to think that ROH will do the right thing by the storyline, not necessarily the wrestler, but the storyline and the fans, and give Kyle O'Reilly that win. And if you want to find out if Kyle O'Reilly can beat Adam Cole, or whatever hell way they find of keeping that title on Adam Cole, you can. If you want to know all that and more, come over to ProWrestling.net on Friday night, where Jason Pell will have live coverage of Final Battle 2016 for you all to take in. He'll also have a members exclusive audio review for you as well. If you want to listen to that members exclusive audio, all you have to do, pop over to ProWrestling.net, look for the membership sign up information, and for just $7.50 a month, you get access to every single podcast we do, and that includes audio reviews of not just Final Battle, not just the ROH TV weekly TV shows, but also every other American wrestling promotion there is. Raw, SmackDown, NXT, TNA, Lucha Underground, The Works. We even get Progress Wrestling from over here in the UK, courtesy of myself and Hayden. You'll also get access to the .NET Weekly podcast, where Jason and a guest, not Hayden, but somebody else, will run down the entire week's worth of news in pro wrestling, in the pro wrestling world. And you'll also have a lot of interviews. You may have heard on the All Access Size Jason's recent interview with Billy Corgan on the State of Play with TNA and how he thinks Dixie Carter is a sociopath. And that's a delicious audio and just a slight example of some of the great, great interviews we've had over the years. So all of that, plus ad-free access to the website and access to the membership form as well, can all be yours. Just pop over to prowrestling.net today and look for the sign-up information over there.
And I've got some breaking news for you, Darren.
What is it?
Breaking news.
Is it what I think it is?
No. Oh,
damn it, I thought you were going to be on the .NET Weekly show.
No. You've given me the big build-up now, and it's not that big. I was just, $7.50.
Yes.
Is that £6 in British money?
Has that gone down?
It has. £5.96.
We're on the way up, baby.
We're stronger against the dollar. Yeah.
Yes, thanks, Trump. Cheers for that, mate. Right, let's move on. I really think you were going to be on .NET Weekly there, Hayden. You're going to end my running joke. Very disappointed. Speaking of disappointment, guess what we didn't get to see, Hayden?
Anything to do with the British tour and the change of the World Television Championship?
Correct. Yes. In case you weren't paying attention to the UK tour, which is fair, if you're listening to this, you're probably living in America and therefore didn't have to pay attention to the UK tour. Quite a lot happened. They were debuting two of their new signees. We found out they were signees just before the tour, but they were advertised before that. In Marty Scurll and Will Ospreay, which if you listen to the Progress audio with me and Hayden, you'll know all about already. They have been signed with the company. They were on the tour already, as I said. And on night number one, I believe, Will Ospreay went up against Bobby Fish, who was the TV champion. You thought it was going to be a good, solid match, and then Bobby Fish would win. Swerve, Will Ospreay won and won the TV title. And then on the final night of the tour, Will Ospreay faced Marty Scurll for the TV title, and Marty Scurll became the new TV champion. So, yeah, in the space of three events, non-televised, they are available on iPayView. I just checked. They are on the ROH website now.
Right.
But nothing you saw on TV or nothing you could have seen live happen, they've had two title changes for their TV title, which is ridiculous. Again, I will point out the TV title changed hands twice, not on television. Thus defeating the entire purpose of it being a goddamn TV title.
And on top of that, then, on the actual TV show, they didn't explain what happened. They just basically advertised this match. And any person who is just a casual fan and watches the TV show would have gone, what? And second of all, it wouldn't surprise me if a lot of them went, who's Marty Scurll?
Oh, Jackie, you have no reason to know who he is. You might have heard of Will Ospreay. Obviously. If you follow ROH, you're kind of more tuned in than I think the normal casual fans would be.
Yeah.
So you're probably going to know about his match with Ricochet and all that good jazz. But, yeah, Marty Scurll is probably something of a mystery to you because he hasn't really done all that much outside the UK. I think it's fair to say.
I think he won the PWG tournament this year. I'm not sure, though. I could be wrong about that.
Of course he did. What am I on about? Yes, he did win the PWG. Yeah.
So a little bit outside of the UK. Yeah.
Okay, but I was thinking, like, Will Ospreay is in New Japan. Will Ospreay's been in America a lot more prominently.
He's got a higher profile in America, Will Ospreay, than Marty Scurll has at this time.
But still, so there's been two TV titles, and this has now changed the match that was originally Bobby Fish having another match with Dragon Lee, which they had a few weeks ago on TV. Instead, it's Marty Scurll versus Dragon Lee versus Will Ospreay versus Bobby Fish in a four-corner survival match for the ROH TV Championship. Now, as much as the problems I have with the kind of hotshot booking of the TV title on non-televised events, and the kind of random nature of this match, I am hella looking forward to this.
I can't wait. I literally can't wait. You know, I'm plonking down my £25, essentially for this match. There's a lot of other stuff I want to watch on this show, obviously. But for me, you know, obviously the UK connection and how much we've watched Marty Scurll and Will Ospreay over the last, 6 months or so, 7 months, and before that, obviously. But this is going to be tremendous. You know, you've got the high flyers in Dragon Lee and Will Ospreay. You've got the more grounded but still can use a bit of high flying in Marty Scurll and Bobby Fish, but they're going to be the bases essentially. And it's just going to be phenomenal. I think I may be building this up too much in my head, and as a result, I'll probably feel a bit let down. But at the same time, if you go into this just knowing that it should be a good match, you're going to be thoroughly entertained. The one other thing I would like to point out as well, and this links back to what we said earlier on about Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish's contract is also coming up, and they've moved the television championship away from him sort of quite quietly. I'm just going to put two and two together there. I might be getting five or six, but I'm just saying that there might be a connection there as well.
You have got a good point there. And I think of all the likely outcomes, Bobby Fish retaining his title is the least likely option, yeah, I'd say.
I'd agree.
I think any of the other three, including Dragon Lee here, could be viable contenders for this TV title, because Dragon Lee is the one that's had ROH exposure before. However, you know, he's only had like two matches, I think, but people are raving about him. And obviously Will Ospreay, everyone's raving about him, and Marty Scurll's the new champion. So it depends whether they see more value in building up Marty Scurll as that TV champion.
Do you want to tell the people, the lovely All Access people, your idea for Marty Scurll and his umbrella?
Yes, I do. Oh, well done, Hayden. Very well done indeed. Yes, I had this wonderful idea for Marty Scurll, in that he comes to the ring with an umbrella, which kind of his thing, but it's usually down. It's down, and he smacks people with it occasionally, right? I think when he has a championship, he should have the umbrella up, so like raised, so that he can be the reigning champion. Best joke I ever made. Best joke ever.
I can confirm that's the best joke he's ever said.
It really is true. Also, on the progress side of things, do you know what these are surefire route to success, Hayden?
Well, how's that?
Losing in progress wrestling. Will Ospreay came back, lost a bunch of matches, now he's with Ring of Honor. At the biggest show of the year of progress in the triple threat, Marty Scurll and Tommy End came out on the losing end. Tommy End's now in NXT. Marty Scurll's now TV champion at ROH. Mark Haskins, who won the match, had to vacate the title due to injury. He isn't going anywhere anytime soon. So, you know, if you want to know who's going to be, you know, breaking through soon on the US scene, watch Progress Wrestling, plug, 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 and watch who loses. Dave Mastiff loses a lot on there.
Yeah, but there's a reason he's not in other companies.
Shut up. In jokes. Back to the point. Yeah, this match is very symptomatic of the final battle card in general, in that it's very thrown together. It's just there. It's a match for the sake of having a match for their secondary title, which really, really shouldn't be a thing. But again, I'm so excited for it, against my better judgment, and I should admonish them for not building this properly. I am really looking forward to this. And as with you, this might be enough to sell me on this pay-per-view alone. So kudos for them to having the wherewithal to book really, really good wrestlers, just not really, really good storylines. Do you have an official prediction for this one?
I'm going to stick with Marty Scurll, mostly based on the logic of they've played hot potato with the championship a lot recently, and they do seem to like having long reigning television championships holders. So I'm just going to stick to that, just for the simple fact that that's the only logic I can think of.
This prediction is dependent on match placement, because if we're following your logic in the main event that Adam Cole goes over, that necessitates one of, if not both, of the preceding title matches, so the tag and the TV title, has to go to a babyface.
Oh, no, you've got a point.
So I'm more confident in my prediction for the other match than I am for this one. So I think Marty Scurll will be my official prediction, because I think the tag match will go on second to last.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think the TV title is likely to open the show. So I am going to go with Marty Scurll winning here. If it's second to last behind the main event, Will Ospreay all the way. I know I predicted that Kyle O'Reilly is going to win. I'm just saying, I think the second to last match, the babyface will win. So if it's there, my official prediction, this is getting complicated, but follow me. If it's a semi-main, Will Ospreay. If not, Marty Skull to retain.
Okay, I'm going to hedge my bets as well, okay? I'm going to go for Marty Skull. If a babyface wins it, I'm going to say Dragon Lee.
So you don't think Ospreay?
No. I think Ospreay might be the man plugged in. Again, we're following logic based on our predictions, but if Adam Cole needs a hot babyface to work with, I think Will Ospreay, you could go a lot worse than him.
Okay, I can see where you're coming from. Yeah. Luckily, the next match I think is a bit more straightforward for me, at least.
Mm-hmm.
This is the ROH Tag Team Championship. It's the Young Bucks taking on the Briscoes. The Young Bucks are the champions, and the Briscoes are chasing a record 9th tag title run here in ROH. I think it's straightforward because the Bucks are on the bubble. They're another contract that is expiring soon. And I just think the writing's on the wall. They're going to NXT. I know they've been teasing it like they like to do. You know, they're teasing going back to ROH and putting out all this cryptic stuff on Twitter. But I think WWE is going to come and break the bank to get them. So I think they've been talking about that legacy of the Briscoes winning the tag titles. They were kind of inserted awkwardly into this match at the expense of Colt Cabana and Dalton Castle, who had that title match in the bag for later on. They could have gone with that direction if they wanted the Young Bucks to retain. They brought the Briscoes in for a reason. They keep mentioning that 9-time championship. So I am more convinced than for any of the three top matches, I think the Briscoes are going over here to win that record 9th title reign.
Now, see, the logic in my head says, well, the last pay-per-view was Ladder Wars. Well, it was All-Star Extravaganza, but the Young Bucks won Ladder Wars in order to win the championship. And you wouldn't put a team through that and then let them lose in the next pay-per-view. That's the logic I get in my head anyway. But I do see your point. Again, we're talking more behind the scenes rather than the actual match and the way it's been built, etc., which I think is indicative of the way ROH are sometimes. So, yeah, the way that the Briscoes were put over strong on the TV show this week as well. And as you said, they keep harping on about the good old boys being, you know, long-standing Ring of Honor, long-time employees and long-time wrestlers in the company. You know, they've gone out their way to make them look as good as they possibly can. I would agree with you. I think the Briscoes are going to win the tag team championships here.
I just think the reason to bring the Briscoes in is so that the Young Bucks lose someone credible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's nobody else in the world. The reason why we don't have to talk about match quality here is because it's obvious it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that's the thing.
This is actually my favourite tag match possible in the world right now. They nearly got a match of the year vote from me a few years ago for a TV match they had. That's how good their chemistry is. It's unlike almost any other tag team around, certainly at the moment, and it's up there with some of the great, you know, tag team chemistries of all time, I'd say. So there's no doubt in my mind this is going to be a fantastic, fantastic match if it's given the time to go that it should be,
mm-hmm.
and I'm pretty sure it will. Go on, sorry.
What I will say, if I remember rightly, it was this match, that TV show, the TV match you just talked about, was the main reason that we started doing the ROH podcast. I remember getting a DM from you on Twitter basically saying, we need to start covering this show. This match was just out of this world amazing. And here we are, 50 shows later.
50?
This is our 50th ROH related podcast. I meant to mention it at the start, but you were too busy talking about your wisdom teeth.
Sorry. See, now that takes precedence because that just gives me more reason to talk about myself. I'm very disappointed you, Hayden, but I'm also very proud of you, Hayden. I'm having weird mixed emotions at the moment. Well, welcome, everybody, to the 50th.net ROH show. And if you liked any show we've ever done, you have the Young Bucks and the Briscoes to thank. Again, that's how good they are. They spawn podcasts with these matches.
There you go.
It's going to be great. I think the Briscoes are going to go over. That's my babyface, my nailed-on babyface win for the three title matches. Technically, there's four, but we'll get to that one in a second. Yeah, this is my nailed-on babyface win.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
Now, the other title match on the show is for the newly minted ROH six-man tag titles, which has been built, of course, over a very, very weird tournament where one side of the bracket was essentially finished and we knew one of the finalists before the other side of the bracket even got started. And even then, they've now changed one of the finalists. You weren't keeping up, and to be fair, you needed several spreadsheets to keep up with the confusing side of one of these brackets. It started out on paper as it was going to be ACH, Leo Rush and Jay White as one of the teams.
No.
Leo Rush dropped out for what we were told in kayfabe was Alex Shelley telling him to go to Germany instead.
Yeah.
Explain that one. So Kushida stepped in. That great start to your new prestigious title that Leo Rush decided 2 weeks in Berlin on the piss up was a better choice of activity than being in this tournament.
Just someone not sued. That is more a joke as opposed to actually what happened.
Yes, I'm not saying that Leo Rush was on a Barney for a few weeks after in Berlin. I'm just saying he was kayfabe in Germany instead of being in this tournament because Alex Shelley said basically it's not worth it. Don't worry, there'll be another time. Go to Germany. It's a laugh. So that happened, and then ACH has done some things. You can go and read into the validity of them on other sites. Go knock yourself out. So ACH is now no longer in the final. It's been replaced, ironically, by Leo Rush. So the match is now Leo Rush's original replacement, Kushida, ACH's replacement, Leo Rush, and Jay White, who genuinely wants to be there, it seems.
Yeah.
They taking on the newly formed Kingdom under Matt Taven's leadership. The Kingdom is now Taven, TK O'Ryan, and Vinny Marcietta.
Marcegaglia. we'll be able to pronounce it one day.
We landed on it, though. The last time we did the ROH TV show, we landed on our accepted .net pronunciation. Now I can't remember what it was. So we're calling Vinny.
His name's Vinny.
Vinny. So yes, this wonderful barnstorming five-star epic clash of champions is going to be for the newly minted ROH six-man tag team championships. Now, we think they've brought this title in because they have two working relationships at the moment. They have New Japan and they have CMLL down in Mexico, both of which are prominent with their six-man tag titles, especially CMLL. So it kind of made sense to make a six-man division. It's going to dilute their tag division, which I don't think they can actually do at the moment anyway. But yeah, so we're now going to have four titles and stuff into an hour-long TV show every week. Fantastic. Do you care, Hayden, who wins?
Honestly, no. The tournament as well, first of all, if you've got a spreadsheet, anyone out there, please send it to me because they might make a bit more sense when I watch the show on Friday. But yeah, it's just been one mess after another, to be quite honest. And the matches haven't been particularly interesting. It hasn't had a feeling that it actually meant anything. And the only team that actually said that they want to win the tournament was the team that got knocked out in the first round by the Kingdom, which was the Bullet Club. So it just feels just there. Again, it's with the people in the match, it's going to be a good match. But I'm not more interested in a six-man tag team tournament or a tag team match after this tournament than I was going into it, and that's not what a wrestling tournament should do.
It's not been a good year for tournaments, looking back on it, to be fair. The Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic was not good. The Atlas Tournament over in Progress was not good. And now we have this one to cap off our year. Fantastic. And I don't actually agree with you that I know it's going to be a good match.
I think
because I have faith in the baby faces and their talent, but they've never teamed together before. You know what I mean? So there's that. Mm-hmm. And whilst I did say that the Kingdom surprised me in kind of how effective they were as a heel tag team, I'm still not excited because it's Matt Taven. It's impossible to get excited about Matt Taven in the same way it's impossible to get excited about wallpaper paste. So it's just not going to happen, unfortunately. But
you're just a Melvin.
Thank you. But this is my thing. They can't give it to Kushida, Leo Rush and Jay White.
No.
because they can't keep that team together. It's changed twice in the tournament anyway. So there's no consistency there. This is not also going to help their case to make Kushida come more over, because if you watch one of his interviews in Japan, he basically threw ROH under the bus saying, I have no idea what I'm doing when I get over to ROH. They just tell me things and I go and have matches. They don't tell me in advance.
That's a delirious booking session, isn't it?
I was going to say, yeah, that's true for everybody. But yeah, he didn't know he was in this six-man tournament until he got there. And they said, BT Dubs, you're in the six-man tournament now. Okay. So they can't give it to them. And therefore, that means they have to give it to the Kingdom. And, you know, as I've said on my last ROH TV appearance, what the world does not need right now is another Ring of Honor three-man heel group. We have too many already. So it's just, there is a good outcome if they really do think, right, Lio Rush, Jay White and Kushida, they're going to be our champions. They can have great matches with anybody. We'll put it on them for as long as we can keep Kushida with us. We'll do that. That could be fine, and that could lead to some good six-man matches. But that's not my official prediction. My official prediction is the Kingdom, and that bores me to tears.
Yeah, it's not. The problem is, and this goes back to when I can't remember why I was doing a solo audio, but I was doing a solo audio without you when the Kingdom beat the Bullet Club, and I basically said that, you know, although the two guys that were with Matt Taven sort of stood out in a positive way, not overly positive, but you know, they didn't stink out the joint. I don't know anything about them, and I really want to know. I really want a bit of character development to really sort of understand sort of what type of people these are. You know, why did Matt Taven go out of his way to bring them into his Kingdom? You know, if I knew that, you know, even if they're heels, well, they will be heels, but even if it's like a heelish logic that irks me, at least I'm feeling something about it, you know? But at the moment, it's just Matt Taven who... I probably rate him a little bit more than you, he's still not in my top 25, 30 wrestlers, you know, on my favorite wrestler list, you know. I don't know anything about TK O'Ryan and Vinny. So it's just the Kingdom at the moment just don't have any juice behind them for me to know why I want to see the babyfaces beat them. But at the same time, because they fed the Bullet Club to the Kingdom, you know, it would be insane not to actually have them win the whole tournament and win the belts. And, you know, I'm going to give them a bit of a chance afterwards just to establish them as a threesome and see where they go from there. I don't have great faith that they'll do it, but I'm willing to give them a bit of a chance.
We're all Melvins here. Right, let's move on to what is a very, very tasty match. We know out of the title matches, we're looking at... three singles matches and then another six-man tag match. But there is a premier singles match here. Now, that is kind of thrown together, but for more legitimate reasons than usual.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it should be treated, and I think it has been treated, as the semi-main event.
Yeah.
This is going to be Jay Lethal, a.k.a. Mr. ROH himself, taking on the debuting in Ring of Honor, Cody Rhodes. Now, he is listed here as Cody Rhodes. Whether they're going to allow him to get away with that, I don't know. I think they've been calling him Cody Rhodes on TV.
TV, the voiceover has been Cody Rhodes, but the graphics have been Cody.
Right, so they're obviously a little bit skittish about using that last
and
name.
When they mentioned Cody Rhodes, they basically said the son of the American Dream, so they didn't even say Dusty Rhodes. So
that's a little messy. But, yeah, regardless of the kind of copyright surrounding that business, Cody is here. Oh, we've been looking forward to it since it was announced some time ago now. It was almost like, I'd say in the first few weeks of him leaving WWE, it was kind of announced that he's coming to Final Battle. It's been a long time in the making. We called this match quite a few months ago as well. We thought it was going to be Jay Lethal versus Cody Rhodes, and I'm so excited that it's here.
Yeah, definitely, and... You know, this for me sort of proves my point that I've been saying and you've been saying as well, Darren, in terms of the way that ROH can book some matches. Because when we talk about like storyline help and talking about getting a bit of juice behind the actual match and the reason for the match, it's not that we want sports entertainment or any of that sort of guff, you know what I mean? Sort of ha-ha comedy nonsense. what we want is just basically people saying, this match is happening because I want to prove that I'm better than you. You know, that to me is an effective story going into a match. It's not just a match being thrown out there. And in this case, you've got Jay Lethal saying, I'm representing ROH. Cody, you're representing, you know, where you come from. And I just want to prove to you that I'm better. And at the end of the day, it's a very, very basic story, but it's a story. And, you know, if you've got two or three matches like this on a card, you know, to me, that's an effective build for not your main event, but for matches that are in the mid-card sort of area. And I just wanted to make that point. So I'm sorry if I sound like I'm ranting.
No. I think it was the only story they could tell, mm-hmm. considering they only had one half of the coin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They only had Jay. Now, the reason for that, I can't actually figure out, because it's not like, I know Cody Rhodes has got a lot of indie dates at the moment, but Ring of Honor couldn't bring him in for a few, you know, that may spoil the kind of specialness of him debuting at Final Battle, I suppose, but I think in terms of getting people excited for this show and getting eyes on the product in the build-up to Final Battle, I think they could have done with Cody Rhodes for at least a couple of weeks of TV. You make a big deal out of it, you advertise it well in advance that Cody's going to be there. He doesn't have to wrestle, he can just do promos, he's good at that, that's fine. I think that would help, because I don't know how many people they are. Not to diminish Cody Rhodes' star power, but I don't know how many people there are that would just see Cody Rhodes is going to ROH, and that would be enough for them to hire the show, you know, buy the show
yeah.
without any other stimuli. You know what I mean? Had they had a few weeks of him cutting promos, and then you'd got them interested in the other matches as well, that makes it a more, you know, a more tantalizing promise package to people to try and sell them on buying Final Battle. That aside, Jay Lethal has done a good job in his few promo spots of kind of saying this as just straightforward, as you mentioned. I want to prove I'm the best. You want to prove you're the best. Let's do this.
Let's get it
and,
on.
And it's good because, you know, Jay Lethal's another one with the contract on the bubble. I said he would be my number one choice to go to NXT, and I stand by that. This could be his blow-off, and it feels good that he's giving a bit of his rub. Because he wasn't as much as the MVP of ROH as he was in 2015, but he still had a very, very big year where he was the champion for probably the majority of the year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I more than 50% of the year, Jay Lethal was your world champion. He's still got a lot of that luster left. He hasn't lost a lot of it since losing that championship. He can give that to Cody Rhodes if Cody's sticking around for more than a cup of coffee. And I just think based on both of... I haven't seen anything of Cody on the indies yet. I've heard good things, but I've also heard some middling things as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he has turned up when he's wanted to on big matches. This feels like a big match. He'll want to be impressed on his first day in the company. You know what I mean? He's for all of his stature in the wrestling world, he's still a WWE guy going into Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
They can still be a little bit hostile of that way around. It didn't happen with Alberto when he went there, however briefly, to Ring of Honor. But there's a few more I think they might think, well, you need to prove yourself of why you're in the wrestler's wrestling company.
Mm-hmm.
He can do that against Jay Lethal in spades, I think.
Yeah, and I agree. I think Cody Rhodes is going to go over here. You know, although he might not be a mainstay on every week of ROH, maybe not even every pay-per-view. I think with the schedule that he's keeping and wants to keep, you know, you'll pop in and out all the time. Again, as you said, Jay Lethal's contract is coming up. There's no indication at the moment that he's going to re-sign. Again, not saying he's not going to re-sign, but there's no indication at the moment that he is going to re-sign. And as we've said before, for Jay Lethal, it's now or never really for NXT to have that next step of his career, because he's got the TNA stench off him and he's ready. And you know, like a lot of other people, which is for another podcast, you know, I would argue that he's ready for the main roster, but of WWE. But, you know, we're not going to go down that road today.
No, he's here. He's hopefully here for a long time. I hope he's more frequent than like the likes of Colt Cabana and people though that are just kind of, it just seems like turn up whenever they've got a spare weekend. Like ROH isn't their priority. And I understand that ROH, you know, Cody Rhodes knows, as everyone that comes out of the WWE, they've got maybe 3 years, maybe at a push five of like good indie bookings of being the hot ticket. And there haven't been really any major releases from WWE since Cody went. because like Wade went at the same time, but Barrett hasn't done any wrestling since then.
No.
And I don't think Ryback has that same pull as Cody does in terms of, you know, the indie fans are not going to want to see a Ryback match more than they're going to see a Cody match. So I can understand he wants to take as many independent bookings as he can whilst they're coming in. But I feel like he could really be a player in ROH if he wanted to be. They could easily have him as champion. That's a very big name to put that title on. And that can get a lot of people interested in Ring of Honor. Right, I'm going to slightly flip this. I'm going to move one card up, one match up, because I think it's the only one we've anything left to talk about. And then we have two other matches. So, what is actually listed below Silas Young versus Jushin Thunder Liger, the very definition of a thrown together match, we have Colt Cabana taking on his former tag team partner, Dalton Castle. This has been a bit of an accelerated feud.
Yeah.
It seemed like when they won that number one contendership match, they were going to be challenging the Young Bucks for the tag titles here. Instead, as you saw play out over ROH TV, at a house show, Dalton Castle got ahead of himself during the match. He cashed in, essentially, their title shot. The Young Bucks beat him. Him and Colt then, you know, had a few more matches since then. Colt announced he wanted to go solo and then turned on Dalton Castle and the boys. So this will hopefully see the glorious return of the boys, because, oh, my God, where have they been? Are they still locked in that cupboard? Are they dead? We haven't seen them for 3 weeks. Are they still locked in that cupboard by Colt Cabana? And is Colt Cabana now wanted for murder? hopefully that will come in the form of Dalton Castle kicking his ass. That would be wonderful. This is going to be... They accelerate the feud, but I think they did enough in those few instances to sell it.
Yeah.
It doesn't really feel like the absolute personal feud it did, like Dalton Castle's feud with Silas Young did. But still, I am looking forward to this match. And I hope this is the start of... Because I don't know whether they give... I am in two minds here. They could give Colt the win. He's freshly turned heel. He could probably do with the wins if he's going to be sticking around for longer to establish him as a heel player. But I'd rather, if he's going to be sticking around, because he isn't on the bubble. I don't know how far down the line Dalton Castle's contract comes up, but he's certainly not up before the end of the year. I want, if he's sticking around, I want Dalton Castle to be the man of 2017 in Ring of Honor, if that's at all possible. And hopefully that starts here.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. When I first sort of asked you, I think it was 2 months ago now, you know, what would you think about a Cabana against Dalton Castle feud? You know, this is what I had in mind in terms of Dalton Castle getting the rub from someone as sort of high profile in the Ring of Honor world as Colt Cabana, and then that being a springboard onto bigger and better things. And, you know, as has been a theme during the podcast tonight, you know, a lot of people may or may not be leaving, and if they do leave, you know, there's going to be holes towards the top of the card. So if you've got a Dalton Castle sort of fresh off sort of beating someone of a high caliber of a Colt Cabana, you know, it gives them that springboard to fill the shoes of some people who might be leaving. So, you know, on top of that, you've had, yeah, it was accelerated, and it should have been told over a more sort of not over a 2 week period, essentially, and then ignored on this week's show. But at the same time, you know, I as I said on the Ring of Honor podcast last week, I do enjoy a good sort of rocker-esque sort of split between a team when, you know, you think that they're going to get back together, and then whoever's going to be the heel just breaks the heart of his former tag team partner and the crowd. You know, it's a simple story, but at the same time, it just gets my blood pumping, you know.
I wonder how old I was when Sean turned on Marty. Oh,
I know exactly how old you were.
Go on.
Do I have to tell you?
I'd like you to.
You wasn't even a year old.
Wow, 91?
91. It was just after Survivor Series in 1991, and then they had a match at Royal Rumble 1992, I believe.
So whilst your blood was pumping at Sean throwing Marty through that window, my blood was probably pumping because I'd finally got hold of the rattle.
Oh my God, you were the rattle. Oh dear Lord.
I know. Right, I didn't really give an official prediction. I will say, I fingers crossed this is Dalton Castle's coming out party. That depends on if Colt Cabana's sticking around for a little bit, but I'm going to stick my guns and go with Dalton Castle. What was your official prediction, sorry?
Dalton Castle.
Fantastic.
And I was actually wrong. I can't believe I'm admitting this. I hate admitting I'm wrong, but it was actually Survivor Series 92, and it was Royal Rumble 93. So you're just under 2 years old.
It happened at the Royal Rumble 93.
It was just before the Royal Rumble 93, and then they faced each other at Royal Rumble 93.
When I would have been 2 years old.
Yes.
Yes. Wonderful. Right, there's two matches left on this card. We can be very quick here. Thanks for sticking with us. There's only two left, don't worry. Silas Young versus Jushin Thunder Liger. Liger gets his usual yearly paycheck from ROH for turning up as a novelty act. Never going to complain because, you know, Jushin Thunder Liger's ROH music is the best. It is the most Japanese thing in existence, and it's fantastic. He's been turning better performances recently, has Silas Young. I was very, very down on him almost for the entire run of these 50 episodes of ROH. Ever since the Doncaster feud, I think I've lightened on him. He still does things that annoy me, and I still don't think he's a main event player. But he's going to be a useful heel for them to have some momentum behind in that upper mid-card TV title level. Him losing to Jushin Thunder Liger Final Battle does not start that off well. So no. I think Liger's okay to take the pinfall, but it's New Japan, so I'm going to go with Liger here.
Yeah, I do like the idea of Silas Young being like the gateway from the sort of mid-card to Adam Cole, essentially, at the top, or whoever is at the top. But yeah, I can't look past the New Japan talent here. You know, they made a little effort to get a bit of steam behind us with Silas Young sort of mocking the guy in the front row who was dressed up as a Jushin Thunder Liger a couple of weeks ago. But yeah, there's nothing else really riding on this. It's going to be a New Japan win.
And speaking of nothing riding on anything, we have the Motor City Machine Guns.
The most inspirational tag team of a generation.
No, it's influential tag team.
I do apologise. Sorry,
you
must get
have
that right.
To quote them correctly. Yes, they are the most influential tag team of the millennium. they said that themselves, so it must be true. They're teaming with Donovan Dijak.
Mm-hmm.
You've got any explanation for this, Hayden?
I've got a sneaking suspicion.
Oh, okay. They're also taking on The Cabinet, who we were told didn't want to be called The Cabinet anymore. Now, there might just be Wikipedia listing them as such.
Yeah.
But, yeah, having not seen the last ROH TV show yet, I will be watching it before the pay-per-view, I assure you, but I'm just at time of speaking, I haven't watched it yet. Is there any explanation for why Donovan Dijak is teaming with babyfaces in the Motor City Machine Guns?
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. There's no explanation for that. But
wonderful.
what I would say is just think back to when the former Cabinet came out. And what was the final line that Caprice Coleman said?
There's more of us than you think.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so normally heel Donovan Dijak is teaming with the babyface Motor City Machine Guns, and that was the last thing that the former Cabinet said. I think you can see where I'm going with that.
Well, that's as sort of as a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Well, the last thing Donovan Dijak needs to go into another faction.
Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah, if it gets him away from Prince Nana, I suppose, if Prince Nana's not part of that package, but I doubt that's going to happen either. But
so you want to trade in Prince Nana's screaming for Caprice Coleman's screaming? It's a like-for-like swap. But now, Caprice Coleman can do more than Prince Nana can. I'm not saying he's not better, because he clearly is, but that's not much of an upgrade. It baffles me. Now, if 2017 should be the year for anybody in Ring of Honor, if they're smart, it needs to be Dijak.
Yeah.
It needs to be Dijak, and it needs to be Hangman Page. Both of them have to have big years next year, because they are the two honest and clear studs that they have under what I hope is long-term contracts for ROH's sake. Because if not, I can only tell you that the NXT will break their neck in their rush to get at least Dijak. And if they're smart, Page as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, they need to start pushing them, and that does not start by associating Dijak with the Cabinet.
Again, it's just a sneaking suspicion, and especially with the Motor City Machine Guns sort of trying to get a four-man faction together to face the Bullet Club. You know, they strongly seem to be aligning with Lio Rush and Jonathan Gresham on this week's TV show. So to me, you know, based on that alone, it would seem that Dijak will turn on them at some time during this match, join the former cabinet, and then you will have a feud between the Motor City Machine Guns, Lio Rush, Jonathan Gresham against the former cabinet at that point. That's my prediction.
No, it's going to be the Motor City Machine Guns, Jonathan Gresham and Kushida, because Lio Rush has gone to Amsterdam for the fortnight on a bit of a cruise. So, yeah, he won't be there. Right, what is your overall excitement level as a letter grade for Final Battle 2016?
It's a very difficult one to answer because from a match quality standpoint, it's an A. It's even pushing towards an A+, to be quite honest. Based on the way they've got me excited for the matches in terms of emotional investment into it, probably a C. So I'm going to... I can't ignore how good the matches are going to be, so I'm just going to drop it down to an A- overall.
I think I'm going to have to go B+, because I'm still very annoyed. I could be more excited for this show than just those matches look good.
Yeah.
Because to be fair, I have the WWE Network. I have infinite amounts of good matches I can go and watch whenever the hell I please. So that if they want me to put down a significant chunk of money to go and buy their pay-per-view, they should be doing more. And I almost don't want to give them that money so they will learn that lesson from me alone. But of this 8-match card, 5 of those matches are really, really good, really interesting, and have potential to be... I don't know if they have potential to be Match of the Year candidates. I don't know if I'd go that far, but would I be surprised if any of them are that good? Not particularly. Maybe not Dalton Castle versus Tom Cabana. Maybe not that one. But the other 4 matches on the show that we've talked highly about here could be very, very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
It should be enough for me to lay down the money. I have admittedly not watched an ROH pay-per-view for quite some time because they haven't done a good enough job building up to it, to be quite frank.
That's about 5 minutes of your wage, isn't it? £25.
I am exceedingly rich, yes, Ed. But that's how bad they're building up that even my 5 minutes worth of money is not worth it. I'm not actually that rich, everybody, just so you know. I did buy myself a Lego Millennium Falcon for Christmas, which is the most expensive gift I've brought anybody this year, was for myself. But
that
is not
for me.
Sorry, Hayden, no. You're getting a smaller, much less valuable ship. I'm talking like one from like Rogue One that hasn't even come out yet, no one cares.
You said didn't say the other word.
Ship.
Just checking.
I just said I didn't care about Rogue One. I feel very dirty. I really do. Anyway, if you are interested in listening or reading about anything that goes down on ROH Final Battle pay-per-view, all you need to do, pop over to ProWrestling.net on Friday night, where Jason Bell will have live coverage for you of the entire event, top to bottom, and then he'll have a member-exclusive audio review of it as well. If you want to hear that, all you did, as we said in the show, go over to the ProWrestling.net membership sign up page for $7.50 or
£5.96.
£5.96, you can get access to the ROH audio review podcast and much, much more. Every WWE show, every TNA, whatever Lucha Underground show, whatever it takes your fancy, we will have audio reviews for you as well. Membership access, member forum access even, and ad-free access to the website as well. Please do go check that out. Please do go check out ROH Final Battle. I do think it's going to be a good card. If you just want it for straight wrestling, if you're one of those ROH fans that couldn't give two monkeys about storyline build-up, this is the card for you.
It's a dream card.
And it really, really is. It has potential to be one of the best wrestling cards of the year. If you have any thoughts and opinions on it, do let myself and Hayden know. You can find Hayden at...
You can find me on Twitter, at Hayden Gleed. I also wrote a blog this week, which kind of leads on from what Darren just said. So I know my blog is really going to divide people, so it's might be worth a quick read by yourself.
You can also find me on Twitter at The Goodridge, or you can check out my other website, foulentertainment.com. That's foul spelled
F-O-U-L.
Entertainment.com. If you pop over there right now, we still have Harry Potter Week podcast available for you, where I reviewed every single Harry Potter movie. Myself and my co-presenter reviewed every single one of those, and Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. We are both in the midst of playing Pokemon Moon right now, so the Pokemon Sun and Moon review will be up very, very shortly, possibly this week, if not at the latest the week after. Certainly before the end of the year, you'll be hearing our thoughts on the final episode of our Gotta More series, and much more besides over there, FailEntertainment.com. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back with the .NET ROH show proper next week, where we'll talk about the TV show and we'll recap the results of Final Battle 2016. Look forward to the show on Friday night, and we'll see you all next week.